we welcome you to the July 30th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's sermon is delivered by Associate Pastor Clyde Moyer Jr. and is titled As They Went. Today's scripture comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19.
Good morning and thank you for coming. When you have a morning off, no Sunday school, you wonder if anybody's going to go ahead and come. And it's really good to see you here. I thought I might be preaching to Mike. I do that some during the week, but last week, Pastor Mike preached on Romans 8:28, and that verse says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Now, this verse is a favorite for many of us because it shares great comfort to any Christian that is struggling, but it also implies a truth that I think we're probably all reluctant to admit. Being a Christian does not guarantee an easy walk. In fact, being a Christian almost guarantees there will be mountains to get over. Every Sunday morning, when I come and do the morning prayer, I mention a few people, but I usually have around 100 names before me of people that have brokenness of one type or the other. Things that come in the entire spectrum of a loss to relational problems to financial, you name it. All of the things that come in heartbreak from living in a fallen world. Your pastors and deacons of this church spend the majority of their time reaching out to broken people. That's one of our primary duties. And that's normal. Job 5:7 says, "Yet man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward." That's one of the verses that I'd really rather not read very often. Jesus' ministry was about the same. He was constantly surrounded by people, bringing their brokenness to him all the time. He could barely get a minute to himself. In fact, half the time he had to sneak away from the disciples even to do that. People flocked to him for a simple reason. They knew he was the only one that had the power to do anything. Church hadn't helped him. Church condemned them in most cases. We're the same way. That's why you're here this morning. You're not here to hear me preach or Pastor Mike preach or the music. That's all part of it, but you're here hoping to get a touch from God. And we all come the same way. The inconvenient truth that most of us don't want to admit is that many of the times we pray, it feels like it doesn't get to him. Now, that's something that Christians shouldn't say out loud, isn't it? Especially your pastors. Why is that? Are we praying wrong? Or are there spiritual principles that maybe we haven't yet learned? First step, we need to make sure what the promises of the Bible say to us. We need to read those promises carefully because some are conditional promises. If we do this, then God will do that. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a perfect example of that. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." In that verse, you clearly see the if and the then. We should examine ourselves and make sure we're approaching God on his terms instead of ours. No matter how much we hurt, we're still required to come to God on his terms. This morning, we will be using the scriptures in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and we're going to work through verses 11 and through 19, and we're going to look at identify five spiritual principles that I believe help get us through to the Lord, make sure that we get our touch that we need. Luke 17, 11 through 19. Verses 11 and 12 say, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers who stood afar off." Leprosy is referred to 55 times in the Old Testament, 13 in the New Testament. The symptoms start in the skin and peripheral nervous system. Then it spreads to other parts like hands, feet, even earlobes. Lepers experience disfigurement of skin and bones, twisting of the limbs, curling of the fingers to form a characteristic claw hand, Facial changes include thickening of the outer ear and collapsing of the nose. Tumor-like growths can form on the skin and in the respiratory tract, and the optic nerve may deteriorate. There is a loss of pain sensation in their members, and because of that, it's very easy for a leper who is in further stages of the disease to hurt themselves and not even know it. This is a horrible disease, and the gradual onset of deformities pushes you even further away from society. And as bad as that is, these 10 lepers, these 10 outcasts, were still desperate to get to Jesus. Here we see the first spiritual principle that I'd like us to think. Determination to get to Jesus, regardless of the obstacle. You got to be determined. Determined is that I'm going to keep pushing until I get there, not backing off. Is there a support verse for this? I believe so. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." When I think of that, and I've shared this in sermons in the past, there was a time that I was praying, and in the end of it, I always close with the words, "In Jesus' name I pray." And I was in a hurry, and I really was just reciting the prayer unknowingly instead of praying the prayer, and I closed it out with, "In Jesus' name I play." Freudian slip. If we head towards Christ half-heartedly, we won't get there. You have to be determined. Lepers were required to separate from society as outcasts, and for all practical purposes, were viewed as being dead to the society. If you even touched a leper accidentally, you were considered spiritually and physically unclean by Levitical law, and you had to be separated from people and watched by the rabbi for a specific period of time. Even after that period of time had passed and nothing had grown or changed about your body, you still had to go through a ritual cleansing process and have the rabbi actually declare you clean before you could re-enter society. In that day and time, and in some parts of the world still, people even believed you could get the disease by breathing the same air as a leper. Think that makes you an outcast? I believe so. And the synagogue of that day was no help whatsoever. You know why? Because the leaders of the church, the rabbis, viewed it mostly as you didn't get leprosy unless you'd sinned in immorality. So you're rejected by society because they're afraid of you and you look terrible, and you're rejected by the church because you're sinful. Where do you go? Where do you go? Standing afar off, verse 13 says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And you say, well, where's the principle in that? Second principle, go to God in prayer. Ask him to heal you. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. Don't ask generally. Don't say, "Oh, Lord, bless my life. Guide me today." Say, "Lord, I'm afraid of this today. I need to get that done today. This specific part of my body hurts or isn't working." Ask God specifically. Is there a spiritual verse for that? Yeah. Support verse. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." And of course, as you would certainly imagine, when these 10 outcasts, these lepers, got to Jesus, he showed compassion. Verse 14 says, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." Now, I don't know what these men expected Jesus to do, but I suspect when Jesus said, "Go on, tell the preacher, you're cleansed and you're healed," they probably looked at each other and thought, "You don't look any different, and neither do I." And yet, confused most likely, they went ahead and turned and started away from Jesus thinking, well, that's what he said to do. And so they left to go see the rabbi just as Christ had told them, even though he said they were healed, but they had not been. Verses 15 and 16 say, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." Amazingly, as they were walking to the temple, the miracle happened, or at least the miracle manifested itself. I believe they were healed instantaneously, the point that Jesus spoke. When Jesus speaks, things happen. But sometimes he delays the appearance of those things for us to either walk by faith or to fall back in doubt. Here's an uncomfortable thought. How many blessings have we missed, answers to prayers have we missed, because we drew back just before the manifestation was going to happen? We can only imagine the joy that they must have felt. They must have felt almost like they'd been raised from the dead, because they had been totally outcast from society, and now they could go home and live normally. But only one came back to Jesus, and of all people, he was a Samaritan. Here's a spiritual principle. Thank the Lord and praise him even before he answers. Praise God whether you see the answer or not. Just as the men started the journey to the temple before they saw the healing, we should praise him whether we've seen the answer to our prayer or not. Is there a support verse for that? I believe so. 1 Chronicles 16:29 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, being an offering, and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness." Let's move on to verses 17 to 19. "And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this messenger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Obviously, there was some time that elapsed from when Jesus sent them to the rabbi and when the Samaritan came back, because Jesus said, "Where are the other 9? Which implies he couldn't see them, so they'd gone at least far enough to be out of sight. Only one man turned around and walked all the way back. And this is remarkable, not only because of his thankfulness to God, which is impressive, but it's even more amazing when you consider who he was. He was a Samaritan. I doubt seriously in this day and time we can completely grasp the severity of the racial discrimination between Jews and Samaritans. The Samaritans originated from the tribes of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Levi, but in 722 BC, Assyria conquered Israel and brought in Gentile colonists from the surrounding lands to mix. The Jews began to intermarry with the Gentiles, and the resulting children were called Samaritans. The Jews hated them because they viewed them as half-breeds and unclean, and they wanted nothing whatsoever to do with them. No self-respecting Jew was going to speak to or have anything to do with a Samaritan. Their distaste for the Samaritans was so great that instead of using the direct road from Galilee to Jerusalem, which ran through Samaria, the Jews would follow the Jordan to the Jericho, climb the heights of the Jericho road to Jerusalem. This way was hotter, steeper, and 23 miles further, but they would do that rather than go through Samaria. So how ironic is it that the Samaritan is the one person that came back to thank Jesus? And in this Samaritan's activity, his obedience, we see the next spiritual principle. Doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, God accepts you if you come to him. That's the only thing you got to do is come to him. He accepts everybody. Support verse for this is Romans 10:13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's take a momentary recap of the spiritual principles so far. Determination to get to Jesus, no matter what's in front of you. You keep pushing till you make it. Go to God in prayer, specifically ask him to deal with the issue. Thank the Lord and praise him for the answer, whether you see it coming or not. And you are welcome to come no matter who you are. There is nothing you have done that is bad enough that Jesus will not accept you with open arms. Now, actually, those four are like, I thought you were going to tell me something new. These are kind of obvious. And that's true. But the principle that we have not yet talked about, I believe, may be the key that unlocks some answers for many of us. If you'll take a look back at verse 14. There are three small words that are huge in their importance. The lepers did not look healed when Jesus spoke. They were healed as they went. As they went. What does that mean? It means where Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We need to pause just for a moment and think about the as they went. Meditation on a scripture, by the way, is about the same thing as a cow lying down and chewing her cud. She got the grass earlier, she brings it back up to chew it and get all the nutrients out of it. When we meditate on God's word, we bring it out of our memory or from a sermon we've heard or a radio preacher or something that we've heard, and we bring it to the forefront of our mind and we get still and we chew that scripture until we get all the spiritual nutrients out of it. To help us get the understanding, listen to those three words in several other translations. Phillips' translation says, as they went on their way. Goodspeed says, and as they went, they were cured. And the New Testament modern speech says, and while on their way to do this. So clearly, as they went literally means while they were walking towards the temple, not when they were with Jesus and he spoke. That's an amazing thing to think about. How long did it take the healing to manifest itself? We don't know. But it was long enough for those men to get out of sight and for that one fellow to come all the way back. Our final spiritual principle, and the one that I think may be the key to reaching God and getting answers, is we are healed as we go. Set your mind like flint towards getting to God. Ask him to heal you. Thank him and praise him whether you see anything or not. Don't let Satan talk you out of it. How many blessings have you received from the Lord and 25 minutes later you're thinking, I wonder if that was really for me or if that was a coincidence? Is that really something I'm supposed to pay attention to? Don't let Satan talk you out of it. And then finally, and most importantly, begin to live as if you've already received your answer. Whether you see anything or not, especially whether you feel anything or not, feelings are useless as a guide. Develop the attitude, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It's called walking in faith, and it's the one ingredient to seeking the Lord that most of us leave out because it's the hardest. I suspect many of us feel frustrated because we have so much trouble getting guidance. Why can't God just drop me an envelope? Why can't he just pop into my head and I see him? Truth of the matter is, then we'd be walking by sight, not by faith. Sometimes God pulls back the feeling of his presence, not because he's going to leave you, but to let you know whether or not you're counting on feelings or walking in faith. If when he pulls back the feeling, you fall away, you didn't have faith in him, you had faith in your feelings. Sometimes the lag between the miracle and the manifestation is for you to grow in your faith. Now, perhaps the answer lies in Hebrews 4:2. And that verse says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Remember why? Not being mixed by faith in them that heard it. If there's anything true and substantial to my suggestion about this walking in faith, there should be examples in the Bible. Are there? Glad you asked. Got a few. The 10 lepers weren't healed until they went. The lady with the issue of blood wasn't guaranteed healing, but she went anyway and he was healed because of it. Naaman wasn't healed of leprosy until he went and dipped in the Jordan River 7 times. Elisha would not have received the double portion of Elijah's power had he not gone and stayed with Elijah until he saw him caught up with the chariot. The prodigal son wasn't forgiven and restored to his father until he came to himself and went home. Noah wasn't saved from the flood until he went about building the ark. And Peter would never have walked on the water until he went over the side of the boat. Does anybody besides me notice a common denominator? Every one of these people went before they received. There's a principle here. God requires us to walk in the faith and believe it's going to happen simply because he said it, because he's the one that said it. Well, is there a scripture support for that? Of course, I got one of those too. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't need to ask if anybody in front of me is broken. Everybody here is broken somewhere or the other, in some way or the other. Is it possible that some of us have short-circuited our own answers because we haven't walked in the belief that God was sending the answer even while we waited? Remember Daniel praying? It said he set his face like flint. He prayed for 21 days before the angel showed up. God wasn't just trying to be hateful to Daniel and teach him a lesson. The angel had to have the archangel Michael show up to fight through the forces of Satan to get the answer to Daniel. What if he quit praying on the 20th day? Maybe we've done the same thing. Maybe we've stopped just shy of the manifestation. God loves you, and he wants to heal you more than you want to be healed. But we've got to choose to stand fast. We must choose to believe. We must choose to reject what Satan tells us. We must choose to praise God for the answer, whether we've gotten it or not. And finally, we must choose to go, believing the deliverance will meet us as we go. This morning, would you like to come to the altar and talk to the Lord about it? Pastors will pray with you, or you can come and just meet the Lord here at the steps. But maybe somebody wants to come and just tell the Lord you're sorry you quit pushing. You're sorry you quit waiting. And you're willing to get back on the track. You know, if God is not walking with you, he's not the one that moved. We did. All we got to do is go back where we left him. The altar is the best place I know to rekindle that relationship. Whatever your needs this morning, I would ask you to consider coming and talking to the Lord. I can't help you. Mike can't help you. We can pray for you. We can love you. We can empathize and sympathize with you. All we're trying to do is introduce you to the one that's here that can. So you come on down if you've got a need. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the people that are here. Lord, I do not know the needs that are standing before me, but you know them. Father God, I believe you are here willing to touch people in whatever way they need to be touched this morning if they will reach out in faith to you. And we ask that you would lead them to find the healing that they want. In Christ's name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.